chapter. Amen. Great to have everyone here tonight. I sure love my church family. Amen. And we are headed somewhere in the Holy Ghost. Amen. And because there's been a great battle, amen, a great battlefront before us. And any time that we're in battle, I know we're headed somewhere. Amen. When there's a lot of shaking, amen, there's some things happening in the spirit realm. And tonight, I'm thankful to be part of the church. Yes. Amen. God is trying to take us somewhere. And I sure don't want to miss what God's trying to get over to me. Amen. Praise God. Matthew, the 16th chapter. Amen. Jesus is speaking here to Simon Peter. And he says, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm going to build another rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm thankful for the church of the living God. Amen. Are you thankful for God's best last hope, the church? Say it again. God's best last hope is the church. Amen. Would you put your Bible down? Amen. I want you right now to thank the Lord for the church. Amen. Lord, we thank you for the rock. We thank you for the hope. We thank you, God, for the power that you give. Lord, we worship you and we thank you today, God, for your grace. Thank you, God, for what you're going to do tonight in this place. We give you thanks, we give you praise, and we worship you, Jesus. Thank you for all your grace and power. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You may be seated. He built his church on the rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I want to stay on the rock, and I want to stay with the church. God's best last hope is a church. Amen. And we find that the birth of the church in the book of Acts, the Holy Ghost fell. But it was significant that the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. And as a result, fear came upon many souls, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Jesus had made a promise. He looked at his disciples one day and he said, I am with you, but I'm going to be in you. I'm thankful that I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. I have the power and the spirit of the Almighty God. Ephesians chapter 1, he begins to speak of the church. He's put all things under his feet and he's the head of the church. I'm thankful that God is the one that's head of the church. Amen. The Lord begins to say in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that he's going to present to himself a glorious church that's not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. I want to tell you, you'll get wrinkled up, you'll get blemished up, but I'm thankful that it don't affect you when you have the blood of Jesus in your life. Amen. I want to stay with the Lord. How about you? Amen. The cleansing tide of the Lord. Amen. It's better than any wash machine and laundromat. Amen. God keeps us spot free and wrinkle free when we walk with him. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians about the church, there's one body, one spirit, one members that come together. We're all baptized into one body. I'm glad that God just didn't call this one over here. And I mentioned it before to you, I talk to people, especially people of colors and different nationalities. And I love to tell them that Jesus was not a black man. Jesus was not a white man. Jesus was a Jew, and he died for me and he died for you. Are you thankful that he died for whosoever, that we could come and be part of his body? Amen. Colossians says also that he's the head of the church and that he has all the preeminence. And all the glory. Hebrews tells us not to forsake the assembly of ourselves in the church. Amen. As the manner of some, but, amen, we need to pay attention more and more as we see that great day approaching. There is a great day approaching, and I want to stay with the church. Amen. The last and the best great hope in this hour is the church of the living God. There's not another ark to get into beside the church. There's not another rock to get on for your salvation but the church. You can't make it without the church. Somebody say amen. I hate to tell you, this building is our assembling place. This building can be destroyed, but God's church cannot be destroyed. Amen. And we're so thankful for the highlighting of God's mercy upon people that we call now the part of the church. Are you thankful that he drew you out of darkness into his amazing and marvelous light and put you in a place called the church? The church also is the bride, the people that is looking for their Savior and the great groom, Jesus Christ, one day that we are wed forever with Jesus Christ. It's coming. And it's coming soon. You're living in the finest hour. Amen. The church is in the finest hour. And if you have a plan to backslide, you're too late. If you have a plan to throw in the towel, I want to tell you, you're too late. Amen. Because this is the finest hour to be all we can be for God. We are living in a moral sinkhole. A sinkhole that, I'm telling you, that just keeps getting worse. This world is not getting better. It's getting worse and worse. Sin is on the rampage. But while the world is having its gross darkness, I'm thankful for the joy and the power of being part of the church of the living God. Amen. Oh, the greatest hope there is. Amen. It's not your insurance policy. It's not your retirement policy. But the church of the living God. Amen. Amen. And I want you to think about it. Our world's like a pig with a pearl necklace. It's just rooting and going deeper and deeper, not realizing the value of life. The Bible says life is as a vapor. It's here and it's gone. If you don't believe it, look around. I can remember when Grayson was born. But now Grayson is, how old Grayson? 9 years old. God filled Grayson with the Holy Ghost. We're going to baptize him in Jesus' name tonight. Very quickly, life goes on. Amen. Very quickly. It's amazing that, amen, through the years, 28 years, I've been pastor of this church. 28 years. I came here at 27 years old. And now here I am. I'm a grandpa two times. And I think about it. There are children that I was there when they were birthed. Amen. That now that are getting married and kids that now are grown. Amen. I'm thankful today to be part of the living God's church. But time is moving on fast. And the greatest hour ever is now. I need the church. You need the church. Amen. And, amen, more than ever, you need to get aboard. And stay aboard. Amen. Shut the door behind you and go forward with the church. This is God's best last hope called the church. You know, our world, our people today, our societies and stuff, they run all over the world to save the penguins and the whales, spotted owl, all these different things. But we allow our children to be exposed to toxic sin. We allow different things to happen. We have abortion. We have different things happening in our hour where, amen, we will abort our own, but we're fret because a little bird gets killed. Oh, yes, it hurts our hearts because it hurts the Lord's heart. He knows when the sparrow falls. But God is also interested in your life. Amen. And us teaching and keeping the church the church. Amen. The church is a place that we come and bring. It ought to be a safe place where you could bring the lost, the lonely, the hurt, and to raise your children in. But hear me. We're an hour where people that call themselves the church are drifting into that immorality, in that sinkhole. Amen. I want to keep the church the church. I want the church to be a safe place. I don't want it to be a club. I don't want it to be just a social gathering. I sure don't want it to be just a cult. And I sure don't want it to be a place where it's just full of who's who. Amen. But I want it to be a place where who he is. Amen. And look what the Lord has done in my life. I want it to be a safe place. But we find that perversion is courted today. And rebellion seems to be championed in our society. It's cool to do wrong. It's cool to be rebellious. It's cool to be stubborn. It's cool to be perverted. It's cool. And a lot of things that people today begin to say that to. It's right. Oh, they'll laugh at things that are righteous when righteousness is taken and thrown out. They'll wipe their feet on the back of somebody that's trying to live right. But I'm thankful that God says, hey, I have a people that I love and I gave myself for. And oh, he will stand with you in the fieriest trial. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23, the scripture says, I'm going to allow them to place this on the screen behind us. 1 Samuel 15:23. The scripture says here, while rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king. This is talking about King Saul. King Saul was supposed to utterly destroy the Amalekites, but he saved back the best of their sheep, the best of their cattle, and their king. And when he comes back, the prophet of God said, what is this I hear? I hear the blading of cattle and sheep. And who is this with you that you have bound? And he said, oh, this is the king. This is King Agag. And I brought forth the best of the sheep so we could have an offering to God. I want to tell you the best of the world, the best of the world is unfit to God. I'll tell you what God is looking for. He's not looking for you to sacrifice the best of the world, but God is looking for the sacrifice of obedience to him, that you give yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. You know, this verse about rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness as iniquity. It serves as a stark reminder that the importance of a wholehearted obedience to God matters. And the consequences of rebellion and stubbornness, you think about it, rebellion and witchcraft. It equates rebellion with the sin of witchcraft here, which was seen as a serious offense. Witchcraft was very serious because it involved seeking power from sources that were not God. Think about it. And the emphasized is the severity when we disobey God's commandment. We're trying to in spite. Intentional. Rebellion most times isn't intentional. And the word of God begins to equate that rebellion with witchcraft. When you seek a different route, you seek power and sources from a different route. I'm thankful today that I can surrender myself to God. God will take a rebellious heart when it repents, when it turns to God. Then there was stubbornness equated to idolatry. Stubbornness are just being obstinate. To refuse to follow God's will here is compared to idolatry. Idolatry involves placing something or someone above God, thus turning away from God Almighty. And stubbornness in this context is equated equally sinful because it prioritizes one's own will versus following God's will. Then the scripture said, you have rejected the word of God. Samuel tells Saul, because he rejected God's word, he's now rejected his king. And I believe in this hour, when we reject God, God's going to reject us. And this refers to Saul's obedience, disobedience, and how he failed to completely destroy the things of sin. Hear me. Partial obedience is still seen as disobedience and rebellion. You can't partially live for God. You can't halfway live for God. And the significance, obedience versus sacrifice. The passage underscores the principle that God values obedience to his command over just a ritualistic sacrifice. I want to just challenge us tonight. Amen. Oh, true worship. Amen. Still involves a heart that is obedient to God. Amen. God looks at somebody that will say yes to him and yes to the will of God, yes to the purpose of God. There's a divine rejection when we begin to turn our heart from God. The Bible says that God rejected Saul from being king. And he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to make David king. Because in 1 Samuel 13 and verse 14, he said, David is a man after my heart. Tonight in this place, The church is full of people that have a heart after God. Amen. I want to be on the rock. I want to be after God. I want to be part of this. The very last and the best hope there is the church. Amen. Are you thankful today? Amen. That there's a hope in Jesus Christ beyond this world. Speak with me. We cannot afford to have just empty calorie preaching. We can't afford just to have junk food up here where I just make you feel good. I got to preach against sin. Amen. I've got to challenge the church. Amen. I got to keep you. There must be conviction. Amen. We got to preach repentance. We got to preach the word. And let me say this tonight. You can cast out the devil, but you can't cast out a human will. Many say they're full of the devil, when really they're full of self. You see, your greatest enemy and my greatest enemy is not the devil himself, but self. We talked about it the other day. You know, even God don't violate a human will. He's given you a choice. And if you don't lay down your will, the devil knows how to use your will and torment you. And with that, you get into rebellion. See, rebellion is all about your will. And when you begin to get in rebellion, you see, you're opening the door for Satan to begin to occupy your temple, your body, your mind, and your whole being. And Satan has a way. When we become self-full people, full of self, it's amazing whenever we begin to let things come in our life and rebellion is there. God will take humans in the church that are full of self, and the church will become divided, backbiting, divisions. People that are judging each other, people that feel better or whatever. And the devil will give you all kind of excuses. They don't love me. They don't care about me. That pastor's just jumping all over me. Oh, that's just this. But hear me. Amen. I'm thankful to be part of the great church of the living God. You cannot afford to have anything else in your life. Thank God for the church. Now, you know, the devil always wants to take your identity. And if he ever wants to take this church's identity, he wants to take it away and steal. He's here to steal, kill, and what? He wants your identity. He don't want you to have power. He don't want you to realize just the power that you have. And there was a big dry famine in the Bible days in the Old Testament. And the prophet said, dig this valley full of ditches. It hadn't rained in a long time. It was dry. And everybody thought, dig this valley full of, you're crazy. It hadn't rained. There's not a cloud in the sky. And the man of God said, it's going to rain. Well, everybody still argued. Remember, the man of God said, let's dig. And why should God give revival? Everybody wants God to rain, but you know what they did? They prepared for that rain by digging ditches. Think about it. And God wants to give the church revival. But if we're not willing to dig, if we're not willing to pay the price, why should God send new babies to old babies that are stubborn, amen, that are too busy for God, overcrowded lifestyles, amen? Hey, friend, God's church is going to move forward with you or without you. I want to be part of this, amen. Hey, this train is bound for glory, amen. You know, this morning I talked about the man, all the talents, and I want to mention again, there was a man who didn't take what he had and put it to use. And as a result, the man who kept what he had and gained nothing, the servant that hid his talent, well, God blessed the others that utilized their talent. God multiplied it and blessed it and doubled it. When he came back to the man that had a talent but went and buried it and hid it and didn't utilize it, the Lord called him a wicked and a slothful servant. I want you to know, this man didn't smoke, chew, dip, drink, drugs. He didn't do that. He didn't listen to worldly music, unwholesome music. He didn't commit fornication, look at pornography on his phone. He simply was not productive. God called him wicked and slothful and said to him, there's a place of outer darkness for you that was weeping and gnashing of teeth, all because he sat on what he had. Sister Courtney made a good statement this morning. She heard somebody say, the pastor of the church had everybody to stand and immediately put their hand on their seat where they were at. He said, God didn't call you just to do that, just to warm a bench. But he's called you for a purpose. He's called you to be part of his church. He's called you, amen, it puts you here. Oh, what a privilege it is. I don't have to be here tonight. I get to be in the house of God. Amen. Oh, what a privilege to be part of God's mighty church. You know, in the garden, man was completed physically. He was completed physically, but not spiritually. Think with me. Because spirituality is not created. Spirituality is developed. You develop your relationship with God. A relationship is not created. A man meets a young lady. Brother Neil met Sister Lauren. But relationship wasn't formed overnight. He had to get to know her. She had to get to know him. She tried. She looked and saw something she liked. But she had to prove it. She had to check him out. It was more than just observing him with eyes. She circled around him. She checked him out. She found out who he was, where he was from, and all the above. And mom and daddy came doing the same thing. You was under watch, but she also was under watch. You see, a relationship is not created but developed. And we must be in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you developing your relationship? Amen. We know that faith is developed best under pressure. Amen. Oh, it takes a lion's den sometime to prove one's faith. It takes a fiery trial or a fiery furnace sometimes to prove your faith. Think about it. God puts us through crucibles, tests, and trials sometimes to bring us into a closer relationship with him. And we learn to trust. We learn to lean on God because we can say, I remember that day that whenever I went through a trial before, God was with me. I remember that hospital room where the doctor says, there is no way, but my God made a way. And the next time you come against something, you can say, I know my God knows all about it because he answered me in a moment where I needed him. Woo. Think about it. It took God 5 words to describe how he made the stars. This amazing, innumerable host that blows the mind of the most profound as well as the mind of the mere simple. When you look at the stars, it's amazing because the scripture says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 16, he made the stars also. 5 words. Now, if God put such complexity and beauty in the constellation and stars, I want you to know that look at what he does when he makes the church. He talks about his church. Way before the church came, he prophesied of it. He died and gave himself to develop a church, to build it on a rock. And friend, he's coming back after a church. His word is all about the church. And you would never be successful until you see yourself as being a threat to the devil. When you're part of the church, God's church is built on the rock. And the scripture says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Think with me. Built on the rock. And the gates of hell shall... You know, when I was a little boy, I heard that scripture. And in my little mind, I seen a church building. And big old gates of hell coming against us to squeeze it like a vice. That's not what that scripture means. You know what that means? The gates of hell can't hold back the church. Amen. Oh, you know what it means? Amen. I want you to get the picture. The church is pushing down the gates of hell. Hell cannot prevail against the church. God has a powerful unit and a powerful thing called the church. Now, we know that in the Old Testament of the Bible, that at city gates, that's where the business of the city was done. If you were going to marry somebody's daughter, you had to go to the city gates with the elders of the city. If you was going to buy property, I mean, there was different rituals at the city gates. That's where the business of the city was done. The Bible says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. In other words, the devil's business can't prevail against the church of the living God. Amen. His business is unsuccessful when the church is in business with the master. How about your life? Are you in business with God? Are you walking with God, growing in God? Is your faith growing in him? Are you on the rock tonight? Gates of hell can't prevail against you. You know, one of the things I want to remind this church, we could be all noise and have no power. Think about it. God don't want just us to be a noisy people. God wants us to be a powerful people. I don't want empty noise, but I want powerful praise when I worship him. The Philistinian army heard a noise that came in the camp of Israel. And they got afraid. They said, oh, it must be the ark of God. So the Philistinian army began to rise up. And when they came to the camp of the Israelites, they overran the Israelite camp because it was all noise and no power, the ark of God. Amen. Wasn't even in their hearts and their lives. And I want to say this. I like the noise of a church. I like to hear people praying. I like to hear people shouting and worshiping God and celebrating their redemption and what God has done. But I love it when there's an attendant power of God with the noise. Oh God, there's a glory that comes. There's a glory that's involved in my life. Amen. Don't just be one of noise. Amen. But be the one that has power with your life. Amen. Power. That the gates of hell should not prevail. The church is a mighty army. Not with quivering survivalists, but conquerors. There's a difference between a survivalist and a conqueror. The scripture says in the book of Romans, Paul talked about it. We are more than conquerors. Amen. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Him that loved us. And he said, for I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, or things to come, nothing, nor height, nor depth, or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus our God. Amen. I want to just talk to us today. We are more than just conquerors. Gideon was standing next to an empty and dry wine vat in a horrible time in his life. Everything was dry. And he was surviving on just a meager handful at that moment. And you know, there's some people who are satisfied with just surviving. They're satisfied if everything just daily, just barely making it. And here's Gideon. He just thinks, this is just life. I'm just taking my little life and my little handful. I'll be okay. But the Lord sent an angel to Gideon. You know what the angel said? Oh, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon, the angel saw more in Gideon than Gideon saw in himself. Gideon started asking questions because of the dry, empty vat that he was standing next to. You know, dryness always produces questions, doesn't it? When there's a dry service, and I mean, boy, we've had some dry services here, and people are questioning what's going on. But during dry times, there's many things that surface. Where's the mercies of God? You know, Gideon began to question God. I've heard the stories of my fathers, how you opened the Red Sea, how you did this and how you did that, how you took and you gave victory against the people that came against us. Where are you, God? Where are the miracles? But God said to Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. In fact, Gideon kindly didn't believe it. The Lord said, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you. I'm going to prove to you. You know what happened? He just obeyed God. And God started putting things in his life. He went to the camp of the Midianites. And he heard what they had to say about him. One of them had a dream. And he started talking about what he dreamed about. Friend, when the enemy is afraid of you. And the enemy says, oh, the God of Gideon. Look what Gideon has. When we forget who we are and what God is in our life, amen, we reduce ourselves to something small. But friend, if God be for you, who can be against you? I want to tell somebody, the greatest thing today is the church of the living God. One night, 185 the angel of the Lord took out and executed, all because of somebody being obedient and Gideon saying yes to God. God oftentimes allows an atmosphere of doubt to prove who he is. Remember Thomas, Jesus that rose from the grave, and Thomas, he heard that other people seen Jesus. And he said, I will not believe till I touch him and touch his hands and touch his side. And when Jesus showed up, Jesus said, give me your hands, Thomas, touch me. And when Thomas touched the Lord, he said, my Lord and my God. I'm thankful today that God is still a God that we can touch and reach to, and he still proves himself. Many times, God has to refine us. God has to work on us. We get full of things. We get full of ideas. We start thinking with our mind and our flesh. And, man, we can get off very quickly when we start entertaining the mind of the flesh, can't we? Well, Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, the Lord said, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify his people. He shall sit as a refiner and a purifier. Why does he sit? I'll tell you why. Back in the Bible days, when they took silver and they wanted to purify it, they took a big old pot and they put a lot of fire underneath it. And when they got that fire good and hot, they started putting the silver inside that pot. When the silver began to melt and liquefy, all the impurities and alloys would float to the top. And they would take a big ladle type of deal and skim off the top all the impurities as it would float up, and they would do it. And they kept on boiling that silver. And do you know, whenever the refiner really knew it was pure, when he could look over at the top of that silver and see his reflection in it, his image in that pot, he knew that that silver was pure. You know what Romans says in 8:28? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But it don't stop there. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestinated to conform to the image of his son, that we may be the firstborn among all the brethren. I want to tell you, amen, God says, I'm letting everything happen to you to make you look like me, to make you reflect me. When God purifies you, he's getting all the impurities out of your life, all the alloys, the junk out of your life, and he sees his reflection in you. Not only does God see it, but the enemy of your soul sees it. God's best last hope is still the church, folks. And there's a power in worshipers. Think. The queen of the south came to see the wisdom of Solomon, to see the riches that this man had. But she didn't faint at his riches. She didn't faint at the grandeur of his palace and the operation. But the Bible says she fainted when she saw how he would ascend up to the house of God to worship. I want to tell you what will prove is when you have true worship to God, when the church is a worshiping church. And you know Satan is after your devotion and he's after your worship. Most of the Bible's teaching on Satan is found in Job, Ezekiel 28, and Isaiah 14. You know, there were three main angels. There was Gabriel, there was Michael, and there was Lucifer, the three main ones. Lucifer was the one in charge of worship. In heaven, he was charged of worship. And he understands still the power of worship. That's why Satan would rather be loose in a church to hinder worship than to be in a den of lions. Somebody said, oh, you know that bar over there full of adultery and fornication and drunkenness? He meant, oh, the devil's in that place. Oh, I want to tell you, the devil wants to come to church tonight, because he wants to disrupt your worship. He wants to distort your vision. He wants to cloud your mind. And he wants to steal your identity. You know why? Because he was the one in charge of worship. He knows the power of worship. That position was stripped of Satan. Think about it. And God didn't give it to Michael. He didn't give it to Gabriel. He gave worship to the church. And if the devil could steal anything from the church, it is their worship. See, when you quit worshiping God from right here and with sincerity, you quit worshiping God with spirit and truth, other things start happening in your life. Confusion will come. That's the reason why if a church is going to have problems, most of the time it's going to be in their music. Hey, this is not my first rodeo. Amen. I've been pastoring now for 33 years just about. And I want to tell you, churches all over the world, if they're going to have a problem, it's going to be in their music department. Man, it's quiet, but I'm hitting it right, nailing in the head. Amen. And when our music is no longer given to God, the God of heaven glory, when you start delving and entertaining your heart and your life with other things, and when the music department gets all carnal and messed up, amen, God can divide a church. God can divide a people when it becomes an entertainment up here. Instead of glory to God, we're losing something. We're missing the mark. Hey, our music is to glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. And Satan knew that the church took his place. We're in charge of worship. That's the reason why you think, oh, it don't matter what kind of music I listen to. You know, I could tell people that don't listen to the right kind of music by their spirit. You start talking to them. And when I was a boy, rock and roll, when we had the record players, you could take a record player, one of those vinyl records, and all of you that are under 30, you probably, I'm speaking Greek to you right now, but you could take that record, and Sister Ricky's smiling, she knows what I'm talking about, you play it backwards, and there would be a subliminal message that you could hear, and Sister Carmen, I literally done it and heard it, and when you get to move that record counterclockwise, and you could hear, anybody else heard that beside me? You could hear, Satan is God. Satan is God. Very clear. Somebody said, oh, that's just coincidence. No, it's not. I mean, because I found another record. And we done another rock group. It's just AC/DC. Oh. And AC/DC is soft today compared to what they have now. Satan is God. So you turn that rock and roll music back and you heard all kind of messages. Well, somebody said, huh. If you take country and western music, you don't have to turn it backwards. I mean, it's who ran off with their dog, who ran off. Just about. Who's cheating who? Filthiness, perversion, lust. Amen. It's just thoroughly. Amen. But somebody said, you know what you get when you take a country and western record and you turn it back? The man gets his dog back, his wife back, and his car back. Man, do you think about worship? The devil's after your worship. Says Crosswhite didn't know what I was in my notes tonight. She sang a while ago. Paul and Silas locked up in jail. Acts the 16th chapter. The Bible says at midnight. Have you ever been in a midnight in your life? The church is at the midnight hour. I really believe it. Amen. Our president has now succeeded out of the race what we found at lunchtime today. Do you know, even though if we got the best president there is, it's not going to fix our society. It takes revival, repentance. It takes turning to God. It's turning our hearts to God. It's not going to get better without God. I want you to think about it. Paul and Silas were at their midnight, and they were in jail. Not just in jail. They were in the inner prison. Locked down. Back in the back. Not only were they locked down in the back of the back, the Bible says their feet were fastened with stocks. Their backs were beaten with many stripes. So, they were either still bleeding or scabbed up, bruised up, injured, wounded, shackled, the back of the back of the prison, and it was midnight. They could have started crying and said, oh, it's so bad. The world's so bad. The hour's so bad. It's midnight. Look at all the problems we're having. But the Bible says they sang praises to God. They started singing praises. They knew that their key was worship. And the key to the church today is still worship. The Bible says as they sing praises unto God, suddenly there was a great earthquake, and it caused the foundations with an S of the prison to shake, and all the doors were open, and every man's band was loosed. Do you know that there was revival in the jailhouse that night? Talking about jailhouse rock. Amen. The Lord came and rocked that place. Amen. What we need in this hour is a good rocking and shaking of the Holy Ghost. Our world needs Jesus Christ. The jailer thought, I'm at midnight. I'm at the end of my rope. But Paul said, do yourself no harm. That same night, at the jailer's house, even the jailer had a water baptism. They baptized the jailer at midnight. If you don't think baptism is not important, read Acts the 16th chapter. They baptized at midnight. Amen. Time. Amen. Oh, why can't you do it in the morning? No, today's the day of salvation. We may not have a morning. You can't play it with time. See? The church is God's best and last hope. You need it. Your family needs it. This area needs it. Please don't be the group that says, I used to be. God is looking for you to wake up and shake up. Nacogdoches. Don't let the devil confuse your desire. And don't let the devil defuse your identity. And don't let the devil use your finest hour. Because he will steal, kill, and destroy. So, if you're planning on throwing the towel, you're too late. The door system is shut. If you plan on just giving up on the church, I got a message of prophecy for you. The door's going to shut. And it's going to be too late. Instead of being that one that says, oh, man, it feels so good in the world. It feels so great. It feels so great to go out there and just do and party and all the pleasures. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are just for a season. There's an eternal season I want to be in. Part of the church that is washed, purged, and sanctified and ready to meet Jesus. The greatest hour for you to live for God is right now. In the midst of a darkened world. And I mentioned this morning, I'm going to mention it again. There's all the darkness in the world. Can't put out a little candle. That little candle may be small, but it becomes great because it erases darkness. It shows and shines. One little bitty light transforms the darkness. And you think, what can God do with my little light? My little life. I want to tell you, your little life will transform somebody's soul. Amen. Being part of the mighty church of God today. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand and lift your hands? Amen. I thank God for the church tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. The great last hope right now is the church. Hallelujah. The great last hope right now, even in this world, is the people of God that will say yes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Hosts. Amen. Oh, what a privilege to be part of the bride. He said it's terrible as an army with banners, the church of the living God. How mighty is people that love their God. How wonderful are people that will march and keep on marching when every knee is bowing to other things. People that will stand and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But there's giants in the land. There's problems everywhere. Hallelujah. But the house that was built on the rock, the storms came and it stayed. I will say it again. The house built on the rock. Amen. We'll stay. Hallelujah. My phone said, say that again. Woo, I love when somebody says, say it again. Amen. My phone's preaching with me. Say it again. The house on the rock will stand. Amen. Oh, I said the house on the rock will stand. Amen. Would you come lift your hands to Jesus tonight? Amen. He's in this place. He wants to prove himself and prove his love. If you're not full of the Holy Ghost tonight, tonight's your opportunity. The greatest opportunity to live for God is right now. Would you come and worship the Lord with us? Come on, don't let the devil steal your worship. Oh, crown the Lord tonight.
My hope is strong.
God's looking for just more than noise. He's looking for somebody to worship him.
Take the gospel to every nation. We pledge our all, for God has called take the gospel in to every nation. We pledge our all, for
on, give
God
the Lord
has called our
He's
generation,
called all the church, the living God.
Our generation. We vow to carry on, to take the gospel in to every nation. We pledge our all, for God has called our generation. Our generation will keep the faith. Our generation. Strong by faith, we vow to carry on and take the gospel in to every nation.
A made up life,
we pledge our all, for God has called our generation. Our generation. Our all, for God has called our generation.
Would you pray with us right now? I want you to lift your hands, saints of God. Even I want you to pray with me, Lord, let the fire of your love burn deeper in my life. Let your mercies, God, Lord, let it, Lord, be in my soul. Let it be in my life. Let it be deeper in my life than ever, Jesus. Hallelujah, burn in me that fire, that glory. Burn in me, Jesus.
Burn in me.
Holy Ghost power, would you burn?
Holy Ghost fire.
Burn in me. Yesterday's gone. Today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire. Burn in me.
Did you pray it?
Burn in me. Burn in me.
today.
Today I'm in need.
I need you right now.
Holy Ghost fire, burn in me.
Sing it again.
Jesus,
burn in me. Burn in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me.
Would you sing it? Amen. Grace, are you ready to be baptized? Amen. Brother Jared, we ready? Amen. We'll go get dressed. We'll meet you.
Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need.
Holy Ghost fire, burn in me.
Lord, burn in me.
Burn in me. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me.
Lord,
burn in me.
Burn in me.
Burn in me.
Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost fire, burn in me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Ghost fire, burn in me.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your word, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Bible talks about, I believe, if I remember right, it says 10 virgins are waiting for the bridegroom, and half of them have oil, and the other half are without oil. And the bridegroom comes, and the ones without oil go to the ones with oil and ask, hey, can we have yours? And they say, we only have enough for ourselves to let our fire burn. And so they go to receive oil. And when they come back, the bridegroom is gone. They missed it. They missed it because they didn't have what they needed. I don't want to miss what I need. I want to have that Holy Ghost fire in me, not just on Sunday and not just on Thursday, not just on Tuesday during prayer, but at all times. I can't afford to miss having that in my life, because the Bible says that he cometh like a thief in the night, and then nobody is going to know the day and the hour that the Lord returns. Amen. Amen. It looks like they're just about ready. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.